Tomorrow, an Illinois appellate court is scheduled to hear the case of a man who says shoddy analysis of a gun led to his wrongful incarceration for more than 20 years, and it could set a precedent for hundreds of other inmates. It may also force the Illinois State Police to re-examine an analysis technique used for decades to help put people behind bars. Max Green from member station WBEZ reports.
Patrick Persley was convicted of murder in 1994 and sentenced to life without parole. The linchpin of the state's case against him was ballistics testing, showing his gun had fired the bullets found at the crime scene.
I mean, I told the police so many, look, I didn't do it. I told anyone that would listen, I didn't do it.
Persley says when police picked him up, he was about 6 years out of a gang, and he had the gun for protection.
At that time, my girlfriend, she had been robbed on our doorstep, and someone put a knife to her neck.
The ballistics examiner who testified said Persley's gun was a conclusive match to the bullets found on the scene. So when Persley was sent to prison, he was focused on getting the gun retested, but he was up against an Illinois State Police policy to not retest guns.
When you come from the streets, you're not really equipped to understand procedure law and legalese, constitutional rights, et cetera, et cetera. And so from the beginning, I was in the books and ultimately wound up getting a job in the law library.
Persley says he got a reputation for being the guy to talk to if you wanted help with an appeal.
I was a jailhouse lawyer.
He also read about something he thought could help in his own case, a giant electronic gun database.
It was being used by law enforcement nationwide. And what it does, it uses algorithm to match bullets, much like DNA or fingerprint testing. I felt like this could really help me. The computer system wouldn't have a bias. This was numbers.
Persley believed the database would be more objective than the police crime lab, but there was a hitch. At the time in Illinois, inmates could only get DNA or fingerprint evidence retested. The new gun database wasn't available to them.
I wound up picking up the pen and I wrote an article, three paragraph article that I wrote, and said that the law needs to keep up with the technology.
Advocates saw Persley's writing in the jailhouse newsletter Stateville Speaks and brought it to lawmakers, who adapted his argument into a bill. Under the new law, essentially crafted by Persley in prison, the gun evidence from his case was put through the database. It showed the gun was not a likely match to the bullets and cartridge casings found at the crime scene, and Illinois State Police examiners agreed to take a second look. The same examiner who said the gun was a match in 93 changed his conclusion after evaluating it again nearly two decades later.
It is like a roller coaster ride from hell. Very tumultuous. It still is. So I'm not celebrating.
That examiner now says Persley's gun probably fired the bullets, but the test results are inconclusive. The Illinois State Police refused to talk to us about this case, citing pending litigation. They also didn't answer even the most basic or general questions about ballistics evidence and how they do their work. But Jim Kreiser spent 35 years with the agency analyzing ballistics evidence before he retired. He says the process of matching a gun to a crime relies on an examiner's experience level.
What it comes down to is an examiner is trained for more than a year, often 2 years, and they go through a process where we teach them what an identification is. It is a pattern matching exercise.
Kreiser says he tested hundreds of guns a year while on the job. He says the process is basically just looking at bullets and casings, sometimes using a microscope, to compare marks a gun leaves on them, looking for patterns.
And if we find the same pattern in these marks as the marks on the evidence cartridge, we can conclude that that evidence cartridge case was fired by that particular gun.
But he says there's no minimum number of similarities or differences an examiner needs to draw a conclusion about a gun.
There is not a standard. It's a pattern recognition issue.
It's basically a guess. I'm sure there's a lot of ballistic examiners who swear by the science, but that doesn't make it scientific.
John Lovey is one of Persley's attorneys.
The scientist who testified at Patrick's trial gave testimony that left a sincere and earnest impression that it had to be Patrick's gun. That testimony was scientifically flawed. When we think of science, why do we believe science? It's not just because a guy says I'm a scientist. It's because you can replicate results with studies. Well, there's no study that corroborates that this shell casing looks like that shell casing. It's just some guy's opinion.
Kreiser disagrees. He says there's good reason to be confident in ballistics testing. He says examiners with the Illinois State Police were regularly subjected to blind tests. For example, they'd be handed a gun and several bullets and have to identify which bullets, if any, came from the gun, and the tester already knew the answer. Kreiser says he doesn't know of anyone getting the tests wrong.
If it's true that it wasn't a scientific process and that we didn't know what we were doing, how come we get all of these tests right all the time?
Pursley's lawyers looked for useful precedents when they were prepping his appeal. They didn't find any cases and say his is the first in Illinois to successfully appeal based on a reexamination of this kind of ballistics evidence. Pursley himself says it could open the door for hundreds of others who had similar testimony given against them by state police gun examiners.
But it's scary to think that my case represents the tip of the iceberg.
Pursley's conviction was thrown out, and he's out of prison right now, but could be retried. At the hearing tomorrow, appellate judges will be considering arguments for and against the gun evidence. For Here and Now, I'm Max Green in Chicago.